Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to the show. Today is May 17th, 2015. This is Minister Sanders. I was reading a little headline here this week. Seems like some guy tried to, I don't know, well, I guess if you fire a shot at somebody from a gun, I guess you're trying to kill them, I'm not sure. But anyway, the headline read that somebody fired a gun into George Zimmerman's truck, windshield or what have you, and he was injured by flying glass. Now, according to the report, there's a couple of reports was out. The first report was a little different. I guess they got a little better information as the time went on, two or three days later. It seemed that George Zimmerman and this guy had an argument or something. And I don't know, and it's not a lot of details there. Why George Zimmerman, this guy was chasing him, or George Zimmerman was running away from him in his truck, or how they confronted each other for this guy to fire a shot at George Zimmerman. But anyway, this guy, I mean, Mr. Zimmerman, you know, he's the guy that was acquitted of murdering Trayvon Martin. So his problems is it hasn't ceased. I mean, he's constantly into something. His girlfriend is filing charges against him for, you know, domestic abuse and whatever, and then the girlfriends or the wife or whatever, then later on, before they get to trial, they drop the charges, whatever. But there's something that this guy, Mr. Zimmerman, there's something that he just kind of trouble seems to kind of follow him. He everywhere he goes. I don't know whether it's him. I don't know whether it's people picking on him. But it seems that sooner or later, he's gonna get. Let's just say it like it is. He's gonna get probably what's coming to him, and he's not gonna. This guy, I'm not saying that this guy that fired the shot at him was justified or not, I don't know. But anyway, Mr. Zimmerman is finding out that, he's not going to be able to run over or push it away against everybody, because a lot of people out there are probably as unstable as he is. And they're going to push back, and they are pushing back. So he needs to, he probably needs to kind of slow his roll. But anyway, that was just a little comment on some headlines for that happened this week. But anyway, what I'm going to talk about today is this. I'm going to talk about Christianity. I'll put it this way. If you or I was accused of being a Christian, we were in court and we were accused of being a Christian, would we be found guilty? Or would we be acquitted for lack of evidence? Now, you might say, well, what do you mean, brother? if you were accused, if we are accused of being a Christian and we were in court, then you'd have to have a Bible there. The judge or the prosecution or what have you would have to have a Bible there to find out what a Christian is and what a Christian, what it takes to be a Christian, and what does a Christian do, and how does a Christian live. So that's why I say, if you or I was accused of being a Christian, would we be found guilty, or would we be acquitted for lack of evidence? Well, I'll put it this way. Most of us who say we're Christians would be acquitted for lack of evidence, because you have to have certain evidence in your life in order to be a Christian. Now, we can say, you know, I can say I'm a Christian. You can say you're a Christian. Other people can say they're a Christian. But how does it stack up against what the Bible say that a Christian is? Now, I'm not going to get into real fine detail of this, but the average person who look at people that's supposed to be Christian, they'll say, well, you know, those old Christians, those folks supposed to be Christians, they this and they that. And a lot of times, these people are correct, because most people that say they're Christians are not Christians. They'll just, it's in name only. So they're not living according to what the Bible say a Christian is. And I'm not going to get into a lot of details on this, but I put it this way. You cannot hardly tell a Christian from a non-Christian. I think that's about the best way to put it. In other words, if you saw a bunch of people out there in the street, in the park, or just in the community, I'll put it that way. Let's just say community, because you know, you can just see a crowd of people out there, and it's not, you know, you just see people, and if they're all sort of behaving, so to speak, acting orderly, you know, that's good for anybody who's say they're Christian or not Christian. But let's just say, look at people in their everyday life, in the community, and what have you. And in most cases, you cannot tell one from the other. It's mostly, I don't mean, you know, if you see two people together walking down the street, one is supposed to be a Christian, or one is not a Christian. And you can say, well, how can you tell one from the other? Well, no, you probably couldn't. But the life, the lifestyle, the way they live, the way we live, or what have you, that's where the evidence come in. The lifestyle. There's a certain lifestyle. There's a certain way that Christians are supposed to conduct themselves. There's a certain values that Christians are supposed to have, that maybe you might say the ordinary person doesn't have. Now, don't get me wrong. Now, there are people who are not Christians, or who don't supposed to be Christians, or don't claim to be Christians, and their lives, what have you, is very positive. In some cases, more positive than some people who say that they're Christians. But now there's a bottom line. Things that you have to do, that you have to participate in, that, in other words, make you a bona fide Christian. And then after that, it's the, you know, it's the lifestyle and the life that you live, the Christian life that you live. There's certain what I'm trying to say is there's some certain ceremonial things that you have to do, and in order to claim to be a Christian. Now that this is just after the first thing you have to do. I'm just gonna get a little basis right here. The first thing that you have to do is to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That's what you have to believe. You have to believe that. Now, when I say that, I say the Son of God. See, there's a lot of confusion out there for people who say they're Christians, people who are preachers and bishops and so forth, evangelists and people that say that they're prophets and prophetesses and so forth. They don't believe that. And what do I mean when I say that? I mean this. They say it. It's kind of talking out of both sides of your mouth. They say, well, yeah, we believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And on the other hand, they say that Jesus Christ has always existed as same as the Father. That he was not, they say he was always existed, and then he sort of come down, changed himself over, let's put it in some simple terms, changed himself over from a, what they call, a God. Now, how can you be a Son of God and God at the same time? I mean, equal with the Father. How can you be that? That's impossible, but I'm not going to get into that. But they said, in simple terms, that he was there. He was up in heaven. I'm gonna put it just being plain. He was up in heaven, according to them, for all eternity, just like the Father was. And then he sort of reincarnated himself down here and incarnated himself into a human being and died on a cross and was buried and rose and what have you. You know the rest of the story. Most people do. But that's what the average person, who say they're Christian, that's what they believe. And that's not so. So if you don't, if your belief does not line up with what God says, and what God say you have to believe, then you're not really a Christian. Or we're not really a Christian. We just say we're a Christian, or we think that we're Christians. That's why I say, when you take the Bible and you accuse these people of being a Christian, and then you look at what the Bible says that a Christian is, that's when you find out that these people are not really Christian. Well, at the most, they are heretics. And what I mean by heretics is this. They believe and they are teaching what's not so. What God has not taught. Not the truth. I'll put it that way. And you can't see God won't, you know, you can't deviate. You can't deviate from the truth. You know, God just won't he won't have it. You know, he say that the ones that, you know, he's pleased with is people who in other words, you gotta serve him in spirit and in truth. So if you don't have the truth there, you know, you've alienated yourself from God. So you've cut yourself off from God. See, there are a lot of churches out there that have built these big religious organizations. They have built what they call Christian universities and so forth, and they are built on error, and which is heresy. And so they have these universities, they have these seminaries, and the people go there and they are taught, and they get these whatever degrees and license and so forth, and they come back, they come out, and they preach and teach the same thing, the same heresy that they were taught in these colleges and in these seminaries. And let me say something while I'm at this about the license. You know, the state cannot, no state or government or whatever can issue you a license to be a minister or a preacher. Now, these seminaries and these colleges, these people, now they set themselves up. They have a little board, or they have some kind of commission, and they, you know, it's just like a corporation. They set these things up, group of people who have no authority at all, and they set themselves up, and they say, well, you know, we're going to do this, and we're going to set these standards, and you come here, and you go to school, and you taught this, you pass these tests, and what have you, and just like any other school. And when you finish, if you pass this, then we will certify you, and we will give you a certificate of what have you, and we will, we will ordain you. We will set you aside and says, you know, this person here is an ordained minister, and here's the credentials that he got from this our seminary or our college or what have you. So basically, all these credentials that people lay on you, or hand you, or stamp out little certificates or what have you, really don't mean nothing to God. If you're not, one scripture says that if you don't have the Spirit of Christ, then you are none of His. So you can have all the ordination papers you want to, you can have all the little plaques on the wall, you can have all of whatever and walk down the aisle, and you know, with your cap and gown and what have you. And this, and you, this college or this seminary or what have you, will say that you know, you are this and you are that, and but if it's not according to what God says, what Jesus says, that takes to be a Christian, then you know, it doesn't mean anything. If you'll notice now, most everywhere you go, and when it comes down to Christianity and ministers and so forth. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm not knocking anybody who says that I'm, you know, I'm doctor so and so, you know, I'm bishop so and so, I'm whatever. You know, I don't. You know, I'm not even. I'm not gonna even. You know, waste a lot of energy on that and so forth. But you know, people like these titles. You know, we like to sit down. You know, have these little round table discussions, and you know, we like to call each other. You know, Doctor So and So, and here's Doctor whatever, and Bishop this, and Apostle this and that, and whatever. I'm not gonna get into that into this particular program. But all I'm saying is, it's basically worthless if God is not in it. And in a lot of cases, God is not in it. But we are impressed because this is what people put out in front of us, and they say this and that, and we believe it. And a lot of times we're setting ourselves up for a fall, so to speak. And then when these people don't live up to our expectations, then we're disappointed. Oh, well, they'll say, oh, Bishop so-and-so, he did this, he did that, and I wonder what happened. You know, there are wolves in sheep clothing. You know, they come in and they pretend this and they pretend that, and there are people who, you know, they do just like a lot of the politicians. You know, they game the system. You know, it's a lot of, you know, it's a lot of money to be made in the ministry, so to speak. And people build these churches, and I'm not knocking people who build churches, who organize these churches and so forth. We need some organized religion. All I'm saying is this, you know, let's not get, excuse me, you know, let's not get into the Jim Jones complex. You know what I mean? A lot of you people are too young to remember Jim Jones and what happened to him. But anyway, if you don't know too much about it or haven't heard about it, pull them up on you can just go to YouTube, pull them up on YouTube and follow the prompts and follow the stories about Jim Jones. And Jim Jones was not the only one, but I'm just saying. So there are big organized churches today, and there's one great big huge worldwide organized church today that we feel that's it's a state unto its own, to itself, but all of it is based on heresy. And it's not, but I'm gonna put it this way, I'm just gonna flat out and say it, it's not God's church, but you would think it was. And it, or it looks, you remember that that story over in the book of Revelations, where John saw this beautiful woman. You know, she was decked out, and she was clothed and you know, purple, and she had all this jewelry, and she was wow. And she rode this beast, and so he really thought, wow, man, look at her. Look at this, you know, look at this woman. And then the angel explained to him who she was. You know, she was the mother of harlots, so forth. And she was a blasphemer. She was, you know, she Antichrist, and that spirit, and really that organization is on this earth today. So when all these people around the world accuse a lot of folks of being Christians, they're not Christians. They're just people who say they're Christians. And see, that's one of the tricks of Satan. The real church, way back, real church, when the first church first started, if you go back and start and read the book of Acts, when the church started, and the church started being persecuted, right off the bat. And what it was organized religion that was persecuting the real church. Then, they didn't want to relinquish their power. You know, they had a lot of power. And they made a lot of money. And people were coming in, they were paying their tithes and what have you. And they was the ones to say what was what and who was who. And they persecuted the church, and they succeeded probably a couple of hundred years after the real church of almost just killing out the real church. That's when this church fled into the wilderness, so to speak, and had to hide basically to stay alive. But the truth, and there are a few Christians that in a true word still lingered on as it was kind of undercover, kind of hidden, but it was still there. And these other churches and false churches and false prophets took over and start teaching stuff. And then when people come out and just say today, a lot of the stuff that we do, we think that is real, we think it's Christianity. We think it's, 100% Christianity, and it's not, because it's been watered down, it's been changed, because the people who run and destroyed and killed off the real Christians, they came in and they changed stuff and they put stuff what they wanted to do. There was a time when an ordinary person, just like now, there wasn't any Bibles. If you was in the Catholic Church or whatever, years ago, hundreds of years ago, you couldn't have a Bible. It was like slavery. You know, the slave owners didn't want slaves to learn how to read. That, because you were empowered, so they had to do the same thing about the Bibles. You couldn't have a Bible. You're an ordinary person. You just go to church, and you do what they tell you to do. You know, you have whatever it is, the mass or whatever, and you just do what they say. And that was it. And that was later on. Then people started rebellion. Started to rebel, and then the so-called Protestant Revolution came about, and people started printing Bibles. They were, a lot of them were killed and murdered and what have you. And even now, that people still brought over a lot of this false teaching that it come out of Catholicism. We still brought it over, a lot of it over with us, even though we changed the ones that's supposed to be Protestants right now. But anyway, the Christians today let me put it this way. If you had a chart and you could see what a real Christian is, from 10 being genuine Christian, being taught genuine scriptures, 10 would be, 10 would be the number. Where would we fit at today, most of us? Probably somewhere down, 10 is the highest, 1 is the lowest. We would probably fit somewhere about a 3, or 3.5. That's probably where we would fit on the scale, a lot of us. Now, if that doesn't fit you, don't Don't get angry with me about, you know, say, well, I'm picking on you because I don't know you. I don't know your name. I don't know your organization or what have you. Well, some organization I know, but I don't call out people especially. But anyway, some of us, most of these churches would fit. We would be categorized probably a three. So that's why I say most of us, if we were accused of being, if we were in court and we were accused of being a Christian, most of us would be acquitted for lack of evidence. Well, I see my time is about up. See you next time. God bless.